What was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
So many aliens living in your town.
Hello, weirdos. How's everybody doing out there in Weirdo Land? Live from my living room. It's the Weird Whatever podcast. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hello.
It's interesting to not see you in a skirt, dude. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness Miami Dolphins won. I am back to wearing regular clothes. It's a good day, Beckett.
I like it.
We're starting a little early tonight because we are on Beckett time.
I actually showed up on time.
So we get this text. Hey, guys. I've got this interview and this meeting in Peru. So what's going on?
Have to save baby goats.
You have to save
goats. No, I have a good friend and client in town. It's kind of like a work friend catch-up dinner. I wasn't able to make her wedding, so it was good to catch up. I have a tutor session after that at 9 for school.
Wow.
Skype session.
Beckett is just, I mean, Vicky, we call this grinding.
Grind. It's on the grind.
He's grinding.
I'm on the grind. And my cousin's actually, for anyone that's interested, he's the actor that did the voiceover on Abominable in the movie. And tonight, I think the season finale, maybe for all time, is on for, Modern Family. So he has a guest star appearance tonight.
He did the voice for Abominable?
Yeah, the kid.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That'd be up your alley. That's that.
I'm totally being a dick. But that's awesome. Denny's, how are you?
I'm chilling. How's it going, man?
Man, we've been hanging out for the last 3 hours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird to be
well, so there's
catch me up.
There's a test video up because we were testing out the equipment from the debacle of last time. So we were kind of going through the equipment. So let us know how it sounds. How everything looks.
God, we're all in a game this week, right?
We're trying to.
Everything's like ready to go.
And Vicky, how the hell are you?
I am super good.
That's awesome. So a lot of people are asking, what is the next step with this whole ghost thing in my house? Now, I will say, I have not had anything fly off the wall. I haven't had anybody growling from the closet. I have had things trying to grab me out of my sleep. That's still going on. So What do we do to cleanse this biatch and get it done with and see if it changes my sleep patterns?
Well, I did have some information come to me this past weekend that kind of complicates the situation. But I'm going to see what I can do because I have a feeling that this thing is kind of floating around and it has a little more free range than what we thought, which is going to make it even more difficult to get rid of it. But if I can keep it at bay, I definitely, you and I discussed about helping the human spirits that are here and helping them cross. So that's definitely one part of it. And then the other part is trying to, if I can't get rid of it completely, at least keeping it off of your property.
Okay, when you say something that that you don't know where it's going or it's harder to contain, do you mean that it's a spirit that's connected onto me, that wherever I go, it's there?
No. No, I mean that it's not right now. It doesn't seem to be connected to you. It doesn't seem to have as much of an attachment because it seems to be traveling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Beckett, so, you hear a tale of this as a skeptic. What are your thoughts?
Well, now I'm a little worried that it has free reign, as Vicky says. And
it's at Beckett's house?
It can leave. It can attach to Denny's or I. It just, it's a little scary. It's nice. It's good to hear that it's not as angry because I thought maybe some of the stuff, I think the concern was that we could rile it up. So it sounds like that may not be the case. I mean, if I was Jason, I'd probably be doing lemongrass. Is that something you want to wait for? And like, right? Isn't that what you're just...
You fucking hippie.
I have lemongrass.
It's sweetgrass.
Sweetgrass.
You modern day hippie.
I got lemongrass in the crib.
And he also has real grass.
He's got all the grass.
He's got so much grass, man. I have no cops for listening. Actually, it's all legal. All
right. Yeah, no, something like sweetgrass here for this thing. That's like giving it a tic-tac. That's not going to do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but is there something maybe on a spiritual cleansing level we could do to, I don't know, clean out the cobwebs, as they say in the business?
Yeah, but my concern is that we can probably clean it out of here and kind of keep it at bay from here, but it's going to bother somebody else.
Is this going to be a problem I'm going to always have for the rest of my life, probably? Ghosts and spirits and whatnot? Because I've had it for the last at least 20.
Right. Spirits in general, yeah. You're going to keep attracting them and keep... And that's something that we have to work on because you're going to have to be able to wrangle in your ability in order to keep that from happening.
What do I do to wrangle in that ability? This is one of the most common and most popular emails I get where you talk about how I'm this raw, kind of like Maverick and Top Gun. I don't follow the rules, but I've got some ability, and you know, screw the rules. I'm gonna go my own way. I'm a renegade. How do you harness that? How do you get that person to, I don't know, hone their skills? Because I have so many people that say they have ability, but they don't know what to do with it, and they want to go to the next level. And I am at that. I want to get to the next level.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the answer is going to sound like a cop-out, but it really is an individual thing. It has to do with the person. It has to do with what your particular ability is. And then once you figure that out, then you have to go from there. And it also has a lot to do with you having your protection in place.
Well, you know me. You've known me for so long. What would my ability fall through? What would be the avenue you would think that I would try to... So if you are a, let's say you're a trainer mm-hmm. for psychic people,
right.
like you'd go to a gym.
Look at me,
Ivy. And I'm specifically saying, well, this is what's going on, and you've known me for so right. long. What is my supposed gift, and what would I want to practice and hone in on? Because this, like I said, very popular question.
Well, the first thing that you have to do is you have to wrangle in, and you have to be able to focus. So I think there's a lot of things going on in your brain. Your brain's constantly moving, and you're constantly thinking about this, that, and the other. The first thing we have to do is quiet your brain a little bit.
Meditation?
Yeah, you can start with that, but you have to have protection during the meditation in order to, you know, make sure that nothing comes through at that time.
Whiskey?
No. No, definitely not.
What kind of protection are we talking about?
Trojan, man. How's that speaker, Dennis?
It's popping.
All right, is it popping? Dennis, you're awfully quiet over there.
I'm just soaking it in, man. I'm just a spectator in the conversation.
So we will continue to let you guys know the chapter. We'll when it comes to this saga, right now it seems to be a bit quiet other than them, you know, spirits ripping me out of my sleep every night. That's pretty much the worst of it right now. I don't sleep good. It's pretty rough.
Is there anything he can wear? Because I remember we were talking about your necklace. Is there anything you can wear, like clothing, bracelet, necklace?
G-string.
G-string. Yeah. Don't tell him that.
I don't know. You know, if the cheerleading outfit didn't keep it away, nothing will. So I don't know.
I will say, when I was in the cheerleading outfit, I didn't have much activity, Vicky.
Okay. Well, I bet. You might want to put it back on.
I didn't have much activity in a lot of ways. But I'm just saying, if you chart the cheerleading outfit to my spirit stuff, I didn't have much going on during that time.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe ghosts don't like the dolphins. I don't know.
Or you just confuse them.
I think I confuse a lot of people. With that said, I think it's time to go ahead and delve into some
Denny's Random Facts.
Very cool. Thanks for the intro, guys. Well, so funny enough, I heard Vicky earlier talking about selfies. You were saying you heard the word selfie. Well, I tied in a fact for everyone about selfies. Selfies distort the face and can make your nose appear 30% larger. And it's actually linked to the rise in patients seeking nose jobs because they think their nose looks big in selfies. In fact, a poll in 2018, a surgeon poll, 55% of cosmetic facial surgeries were nose jobs, and they attribute it to the magnifying on your phone camera.
So are you telling me these selfie noses are not real in reality here?
It's just makes the them way look bigger, but so many people are seeing their photos as selfies. They think their nose is big, and they're getting cosmetic surgeries.
I don't know. It's very topical, very, very up to date. Vicky, grade?
Oh, I'm supposed to be harder on him, right?
Real hard, yeah. If you don't know, again, during Denny's Random Facts, Vicky, our educator, grades him on a regular scale that you would see in the public school system, A to F. Vicky?
I don't know. I do kind of like that one. A B.
Wow. Ooh, okay.
Well, in the
like
old days,
it.
I might have given him an A minus. Okay, and so I'm being tougher.
She's being mean.
I got to tell you, Vicky's drinking some wine right now, and she is a very mean drunk. I love it.
Like the fifth fact, she'd be like, fuck him. You know, I'm kidding.
Fuck you, Denny's.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, 18 and older on the podcast. Yes,
I meant to put that in the description.
I like it. There's a lot of dysmorphia that goes on, like an actual psychological thing with body and faces. And the other thing people have to remember is when they see themselves in the reflection, it's the opposite, too.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, people get freaked out about symmetry and the way they look and the way people see them, and it's different, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. So when I take my shirt off and I look in the mirror, I see two weird looking titties. Are you trying to tell me
they're flip-flopped?
That's all on my head, or I got weird looking titties?
Yeah, but they're just on the other side of each other.
So they are weird. They just are different.
They're just different. Mirrored.
Okay, it's different. They're definitely weird. Okay. All right. It's fun to see. All
right. I think the mirror is probably based on Denny's fact. It's more true, right, than the selfie camera, right?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I think that's happened is that since you can play with your facial features on filters like Snapchat, like it, that also probably raises.
Oh, absolutely.
Cosmetic surgery, because you can like, oh, well, look how my eyes look a little further apart or a little larger and all that stuff.
You can't trust any photos on the internet now because all these apps, everybody, they do the complexion where it smooths out your skin and everything's just like, everybody looks perfect.
And girls know the angles really well.
Yeah, too. And you guys know my stance on that. I do not like when people fake the funk on social media. I think you should keep it as real as possible on how you look. I always go back to the fake ass, but don't wear a fake ass.
Yeah, I don't like fake
I want to see a real ass. I want to know what I'm getting into.
I do like a little eyeliner and some lip gloss, but like it doesn't, you know, yeah, no faking things.
Do we have a wine party going out there in the crowd? Can I get a hell yeah in the crowd?
Hell yeah.
I like it.
All right, this is our biggest crowd ever, by the way.
I like it.
And we have 19 people watching currently live in the chat room.
Awesome.
It's getting live. Denny's?
Let's see. So I know you love ketchup, so I pulled this fact. Well, ketchup is defined in the dictionary as a seasoned pureed condiment, usually made from tomatoes. But in fact, ketchup originally started as a Chinese fish-based sauce puree, and then it was picked up by the British and made into a mushroom-based sauce puree, and then finally picked up by the Americans and made popular by the Heinz Company as tomato sauce.
Interesting. I want to love that fact.
But so if you look by the definition, it's commonly made with tomatoes, but it's actually just a puree. It just got so popularized in America that we automatically think of ketchup, which actually was a Chinese word. We think of it as a tomato-based condiment, but in fact, it is just a puree.
Vicky, you look very... very just not interested in what Dennis is saying.
Yeah, he keeps trying to stretch it like it's gonna.
I like
that. The longer it goes, worse the grade.
I gotta give him credit for that. It's almost like he's got a little extra detail in his back pocket and he senses the crowd and then he can like throw a little more out there.
I would encourage his back.
Nah, he was just like repeating the facts that he already said.
I mean, I was sprinkling.
That's a C.
Bit. That's a C. Damn.
Speaking of C, why is it spelled differently in some places? Isn't it?
Do you like catsup or ketchup? How do you pronounce it?
Well, K is what I'm used to, but I've seen it as a C.
It's ketchup. Okay?
I've seen it as a C.
And if anyone's going to call it with a C, get out of my house right now.
I mean, what is that? Is it a Canadian thing? You know, have you ever seen like how they spell favorite? It's like F-O-U-R-I-T.
Or theater.
My favorite thing about Canada is Michael J. Fox. Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
All
right. Real quick on the ketchup tip. Heinz is where it's at. That's the best ketchup in the game.
Totally.
Has anyone here had Hunt's?
Yeah, dude.
Hunt's
are the two.
Hunt's is the worst thing that's ever been made.
I hate it.
And ever put in a grocery store. Does the audience agree? Yeah. Oh, come on.
Oh, jeez. I thought it would be overwhelming.
Screw you, Hunt's. Hunt's is terrible.
Yeah, I like Heinz.
No, I'm very passionate about hating Hunt's. It's such a terrible condiment. All right.
I don't know if I've had it. Did you have public school pizza growing up and love it or hate it?
Loved public school pizza.
Remember it was like a little rectangle?
Beckett, you're trying to school me on public school pizza when I've talked about it at least 19 times in 2019.
I love it. So you remember how it fit in the tray perfectly and it was like a little rectangle?
Oh, yeah.
So what made me think about it is I used to take the ketchup packets.
Slow it down, baby.
I used to take the ketchup packets and spread it on the pizza because you, like me, like tomato sauce. And it added like a little extra layer of like sweetness and tomato. Yeah. That was the way to eat public school pizza.
Gosh, is this how you sex? Because I like your game.
Yeah, brother. You put a little chocolate milk on the top. You know, it's a little french fries on the side.
Stop it. And you know what the kids do nowadays? They love to dip it in the ranch dressing.
And I understand pizza and ranch dressing is good. Although I think I've aged out of ranch.
I've never been a ranch guy.
I grew out of it.
Ranch kind of grosses me out. Really, although there's like a cheesy ranch out there that does exist. It's exceptional, and there's a barbecue ranch that's very, very good. Mm. Regular ranch, eh. Mm. All right, Denny.
All right, so the world's most poisonous plant, I don't know if you guys have heard of this thing, it's called the Gimpy Gimpy in Australia, a.k.a. the suicide plant. Merely touching it is so painful that it has led many animals as well as humans to kill themselves. The pain is described as a mixture of acid burns and electric shock. In fact, from the Australian Institute of Foresters, Ernie Ryder became famous when he was slapped in the face and torso with the foliage in 1963 to document the effects. And he stated, "For 2 or 3 days, the pain was almost unbearable. I couldn't sleep or work. Then it was pretty bad for another 2 weeks or so. The stinging persisted for 2 years and reoccurred every time I took a cold shower. There has never been anything that has rivaled the pain I felt from this plant."
Can we make a new rule? If Denny's is going to read a quote, he has to do a voice with the quote. Mm.
"For 2 days."
Yeah, that's what we want. I love it. All right, Vicky, you look, again, very...
No, I like that one. That was an A.
What a weird plant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we got a lot of weird plants around here.
So that's an Australian plant. It feels like everything...
down there, too.
Yeah, down under, they got some crazy plants. I was expecting a little more of a reaction from that one, but I'll move on.
Let's No. I think we're just absorbing it. That's a thinker.
There's a lot there.
That's a thinker. Yeah. That's
dropping the Foresters. Right,
give us one real sexy like.
Like a sexy fact, or you want me to deliver it sexily?
I want you to deliver it sexy. We got a lot of emails about you doing that baby talk.
They like it. It sounds just like normal baby talk.
So could you read the next factoid in your baby
talk?
It's
going to be rough. It's probably going to ruin this factoid.
No, I think it'd be really good. In fact, the audience, I'm getting comments galore. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you're in your emails. But.
Exactly.
Baby talk. Come on, give it to us, Denny's. Just one factoid.
All right. Let's see here.
I love how your wife Jen's in the audience tonight.
So, this is a fact for the bird and delivered in baby talk.
Oh, this is perfect.
Only one commercial entity in America can import the cocoa leaves with approval from the DEA. If it's too sexy, I'll stop.
Is it
sexy or baby?
That is so not a baby voice. That's like no.
Endearing, cute baby voice.
It sounds like Joe Pesci. Bit his lip.
Get out of here. Whatever.
Oh, my God. The chat room loves it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Getting a lot of what the fuck.
It's hard to read facts as a baby.
But, Vicky, give him a grade. I mean, for effort alone, that's an A, right?
I didn't even hear what he said. I was just, like, deafened by the sound.
Mesmerized.
That's what I've said. Oh, jeez.
Right, give us one more. End on a good one.
Good fact here. All right, let's see.
Or a mediocre one.
Yeah, here, let me just go out with a really bad one. Let's see what you guys think about this story. In 1803, an English town experienced so many ghost sightings that its citizens formed an armed ghost patrol to catch the spirit. The hunt ended with a bricklayer dying because he was mistaken for the ghost because he was wearing all white. So... there was this ghost that people thought, and they shot a bricklayer. Well, what it turns out, this story got so much publicity that this guy came forward after feeling bad about this guy getting shot. A huge publicity was given, and this guy, John Graham, came out, who was an elderly shoemaker. He had been pretending to be a ghost for days because his apprentice had told his kids a ghost story, and he was so mad at him that he was trying to scare his apprentice. And people thought it was a ghost haunting.
Jeez.
So he stayed in character?
He haunted at night and followed this guy to terrorize him. And people kept spotting him. And then they formed a team thinking there was a ghost terrorizing people. And this bricklayer was walking home in a white shirt and got shot because they thought he was a ghost.
Oh, Vicky.
Oh, you know, you would have thought he would have pulled it off because it was a ghost-related thing. But I got to go with another C.
Damn,
I thought that was such a weird story.
Damn, you're going to summer school, dog.
I had to read one of my facts as a baby. Kind of like ruined that one.
No, that was a good one, man. I loved it. I thought you did a good job.
Well, thank you.
Did you guys hear about this story that dropped today? Police in Boynton Beach are looking for a stolen 8-foot, 300-pound statue of a Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
The Bigfoot statue is stolen from the Mattress Monster store in Boynton Beach, which is located in the 400 block of East Boynton Beach Boulevard. It happened between October 6th and October 13th. Why the shit is it coming out now as a story?
Wow, that's an old story, bro.
Well, it's
it was just posted on Facebook by the Boynton cops.
I know, it's just now dropping, yeah. So...
Because it's a cold case.
It's a cold case, and everybody in Palm Beach County thinks I did it, because I love Bigfoot.
Yeah, I've already looked the place just to make sure.
So if you guys know anything about this thing that I doubt anybody does, call Crime Stoppers, 1-800-458-TIPS.
I think they said they were confused because they had like other Halloween decorations or something and they didn't even notice that it was missing.
Oh, it's something like that. It's a beautiful Bigfoot statue. Mm-hmm. I mean the kind you go to jail for.
That you steal.
Oh, it's real nice, like Beckett.
Interesting. Yeah. I used to work for, my stepdad has a mattress company, Bedding Barn in Boynton. So I wonder if my family had something to do with it.
Little bed mattress rival?
Rivalry.
East Coast, West Coast mattress?
They run in gangs. They're a real sleepy group.
Now, here's a question for y'all. I don't know if you saw this story. Dennis, if you don't mind playing the audio of the Hackers Can Control Alexa. There's this thing where hackers are now able to walk up to your house and control your Alexa and hack into that shit. Here's the clip.
Inside each microphone, there is a small plate called the diaphragm. When sound hits the diaphragm, it moves, resulting in electrical signals. Instead of sound, an attacker can encode commands via the intensity of a laser light beam. By shining a laser light through the window at the microphone, an attacker can remotely cause the diaphragm to move. This results in electrical signals representing the attacker's commands. The attacker can control smart home switches, make online purchases, open smart garage doors, remotely unlock and start certain vehicles, or open smart locks by brute forcing the user's PIN number.
What the shit, man?
With a laser.
I mean, we're all going down, right? It's over.
That's wild.
Dennis, what are your thoughts on that? So, in your opinion, because you're very techie, what is the worst thing a hacker could do to a person, a normal person, just going about their day in life? What's the worst thing a hacker could do?
Probably steal their credit card information or their personal information, open accounts under their name, stuff like that. Anything that ruins you financially.
Identity theft is like such a...
That's a rough one.
So identity theft, you'd say, is the worst thing a hacker could do? A hacker couldn't... I guess
they could break into your phone and steal your personal videos and stuff.
Could they also maybe frame you for a crime?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
And that, wouldn't that be worse?
Yeah, that would be worse. I guess they could put incriminating evidence on your phone or something.
Could they do that to the regular person?
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, as far as putting it in, it'd be tough.
Could a hacker put a... let's say a hacker was real clever. They took a video of Beckett. All you hear is his voice, and there's cocaine, and you just hear, oh, yeah, man, let's party. But it's from a different piece of audio, but the hacker takes it and then shows it like it is Beckett's stuff, and it really looks like he did it. Could they do that? Could they plant that?
Yeah, I mean, they could try to blackmail you with that. But, I mean, there's companies that debunk, you know, bogus footage. So, I mean, they could tell if the footage has been tampered with. So, basically... If somebody wanted to ruin your life, it'd probably be better for them to use like the technology where they attach a face to a different body or something else like that, and then exploiting you that way more so than actually hacking in. And more hacking is probably going to more likely get your information.
What about planting pictures in your phone via like an AirDrop or a...
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you leave all your stuff open and you're very easily get... I'm sure they could definitely do that. I mean, I'm sure they could... drop stuff in your computer and your files.
That's scary if you're walking in the mall and someone could walk up to you and drop pictures into your account and you'd have no idea. I mean, technically, isn't that
totally
possible?
Totally. Everything's designed to not allow that to happen, but I mean, it totally can happen, man. Anytime you're connected to a public network of any sort, like at a hotel, I know they got the free Wi-Fi and it's real tempting, or like you're on the train or something, but you should be very skeptical of those because that's a... I mean, it's as secure as you can imagine it is, being a Wi-Fi on a train.
Are you scared of technology, Vicky? Do you think we're going to a area of just complete... we're all going to get screwed?
It's definitely possible, and it's scary to think that, you know, you think you're cool. Oh, I have this device that's going to help me, you know, in the household, and I can just give it commands and stuff. And what's scary is that somebody would even think about messing with your device. that there are people sick enough out there that want to do it to complete strangers. It's not even a revenge thing. It's just complete strangers.
Isn't that crazy that there are just some sick people? Well, I mean, think about it. Murderers, they're just sick people preying on innocent people. But what if you're a person that has sick thoughts and you're not quite there to be a murderer, but you are at the level of, I want to see the world burn. I just love to see somebody go down just for the smell of it.
Well, like catfishing. That's like such an odd, like, internet-born thing.
And here's the weird thing about catfishing that I'm noticing that it really pisses me off. There's this new movement of, oh, let's feel bad for the catfisher because they have got problems and they're having a tough time dealing with their fucking life. No, they're ruining other people's lives. Zero sympathy for catfishers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's such a weird, thing to get into.
The person being catfished is the victim.
Totally.
Yeah.
I had a buddy he was talking to this chick for like 2 months via phone, text, and they were going to meet on Valentine's Day. So he goes to the restaurant. He's waiting for, he was so excited. Now this is a guy, and he'll openly admit that he's not very suave with the ladies. So this connection was very easy for him. And it really excited him that he had somebody to talk to. It was a companionship. No, we're all not like Beckett, you know? We all are on The Bachelorette.
Have no game.
That's, okay. See, that's your game. Saying you don't have game gives you game.
I agree with that.
I fucking see your game. But he is just a guy that wanted to make it work, and he waited there for like an hour and a half, and it was a catfish, and he realized it was a catfish because he went a little bit deeper, and he saw another guy that was friends with her, and he was asking her about asking him about her. He's like, yeah, I got catfished from the same person. It's totally messed up.
Yeah, it's messed up. I mean, do you remember in the Notre Dame guy that was like that really good linebacker?
Rudy. Oh, no, Mantow.
Yeah.
Or Mantow. Mantow.
He had like a year relationship with this person.
Yeah, well, just because you're a big-time athlete doesn't mean you know how to talk to people. People are thrown in the public eye all the time that don't want to either, A, be in the public eye, especially athletes.
Yeah.
Athletes are people who are on the field trying to just do that. There's going to be a percentage that are very good in the camera, and there's going to be people who are very, very shy that just want to play a sport.
And you can imagine how the victim could feel embarrassed, violated. They could have been convinced to send like naked pictures, share certain secrets because, you know, you believe and trusted that person. It's messed up. Just like, you know, the analogy I would use is just like, you know, alcoholism, we understand to be a disease. We're sympathetic to those people. But if you get in your car and do something and hurt someone else, it's a problem. You know, you should have got help. Right. And I think it's a similar thing. Like, we understand everyone has problems, but when you act on those things, like whatever kind of thing you're going through and it negatively affects someone else, I think that's when it's a big problem.
Weekend plus whiskey plus internet equals disaster.
For you?
For anybody.
But more importantly, one of the things that happens with these people, especially because they tend to know who they can victimize. And a lot of these people, women in particular, and I've seen some cases with men, they actually fall in love with this person.
Yes. And that's a weird thing too,
though. They send them money and they are in love with them and they think that they're going to have a future. So above all else, above being broke, above being embarrassed, they're heartbroken.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's another kind of a psychological study. I'd like to see why would people who you've never met before, and keep in mind too, you know, most of us did not grow up with a screen in front of us our entire lives, but a lot of the younger generation do, and they communicate with people that way. So there might be a different type of trust and mentality when it comes to people on the internet. People talk all the time that way. We didn't do that. We were taught on the internet. It's definitely a dude in Wisconsin saying his name is Laura.
Right.
That's a specific story. That was the original stigma.
Yes.
And then now it's pretty commonplace. I mean, I think it's more commonplace than I understand.
It's predatory because, like, you know, it'd be, you know, some girl and you're like, oh, sometimes it was really a real girl, but I was like, there's no way, wait, this girl's real, you know, because she was that pretty, you know, and it's like a girl that I could probably never get. I was like, oh, yeah, it's definitely a catfish, you know, and they prey on certain people because they never think they get someone. And then psychologically, what we talked about before in the podcast, it's hope. Right? People like to have hope, you know?
Without hope, you are a lost, sad soul. Hope is you have to have hope. Even in your worst situation, you're going down in the elevator and the cord has been cut. You hope that, I don't know, Superman's at the bottom. Yeah. But he's not there, Becky. Intuition, I'd like to talk a little bit about this. I got into some trouble last week on the KVJ show because I dared to say that a woman's intuition is not 100% always right. And of course, that's not true. A woman's intuition is always 100% right. And my whole thing is women, men, let's stop categorizing that and putting us in these, pitting us against each other. Human intuition is a real thing. Human intuition is a real thing. With that said, there are times where you think it's intuition and it's not 100%. Nobody has 100% intuition, but I go on.
Mm-hmm.
It says this. Dear Jay Bird, a woman's intuition, and then in all caps, is always right, Jason. Especially when she has kids. You sounded like a typical tone-deaf male. Always trust a mother over a father. Especially when you were talking about a woman's intuition. There's nothing more accurate than that. Stop sounding ignorant. Stop sounding out of touch. Haven't you heard it's the year of the woman? Be better and do better. Of course, they didn't sign their name. Vicky, you being...
Nothing in this world is absolute.
Thank you. Thank you, Yoda, by the way, who has taught us that. Yeah,
actually, as a teacher, one of the things when we're talking about when we teach kids the difference between fact and opinion, whenever you have a statement that's an absolute, like always, that's when you know that that is not something you can prove. That is not a fact. That's an opinion.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes. There'll be some dorks that get that. Burdening the crowd. Yeah, dorks. Yeah. Yeah, intuition I absolutely believe in. But I don't believe in the whole, just because I'm a woman, I'm 100% right, or just because I have kids. What about the woman who does drugs and the father doesn't, and the father's being right by the kids and doing right by the kids, and the mother's not? Her intuition's right over that? Nope. Okay. That's just one example that proves 100% your bullshit theory is not right. Now, I'm not here to beat up on a woman's intuition. I'm just trying to keep it real that there are some people that they have a bad gauge on shit sometimes, mm-hmm. and they're going to hide behind the definition of intuition.
Definition, intuition.
Yeah, thank you, intuition. But nothing's 100% right.
I agree.
Right, and you also have to, somebody may be carrying something when they come up with that opinion about something. Let's just, for example, you met this guy 10 years ago and he rejected you. Now all of a sudden your husband's best friends with him, brings him home. Oh, I don't trust that guy. Yeah, because you had a previous experience. That's not your intuition. That's, you got butt hurt because he rejected you years ago.
And that's you have fact behind that to base that, you know, analysis, right? Because there's a legit theory behind why you would feel that way. It's not just saying because you are a woman you have intuition, because there's no such thing as 100% a guy's intuition.
100%. There's things.
It's human. It's all about human.
There's things that can influence and cause bias in someone's intuition. Like, I've dated girls who are like, you know, got really insecure about a certain situation, and they would admit to me like, well, because my ex did X, Y, and Z, it influenced how they felt about a certain situation in our relationship when it couldn't be further from the truth. So we're all human. We can all be influenced based on our past experience. That's what gives us our intuition in some ways and our opinions.
I love Stephanie L's comment in the chat room. She goes, my dating record proves my intuition is faulty. I mean,
some self-deprecating humor. That's probably serious. Like, it's true.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think you got to be honest with yourself 100%. Sometimes. I've definitely dated some wrong fucking people.
Yeah, yeah.
My intuition's off too, Stephanie. I get it.
And that's why I don't read for myself. Because I have a vested interest in what I'm trying to get to. So I won't read for myself. I won't read for family members because I might have an outcome that I kind of want that's in the back of my mind. So same thing. When you're dating, you meet somebody, you think they're hot. So you're talking yourself out of any kind of signals that you're getting and intuition that's going to a negative because you actually want to meet this person and hang out with them. So you talk yourself out of it.
Quick question, Vicky. Guy who can dance, sexy, or doesn't really do anything for you?
What kind of dancing?
I don't know. Like a guy that does circa late 80s to early 90s hip hop. Really good. Crushes it.
Now you're just talking about me.
oh, well, in that case, if it's Beckett, yeah.
Yeah, and stop emailing me about Beckett if he's single or not. For the record, what the shit's your situation with dating? Stop emailing me about Beckett.
It's complicated.
Oh, there's no way that speaker's not blown out.
Oh, jeez.
Danny's awfully quiet about intuition. What does your intuition say about intuition?
Well, my intuition on this subject... I think intuition does get convoluted. Like you guys, I think you guys have hit all the main points as far as intuition goes.
We crush it.
You guys are crushing it over there. I'm just kind of like,
and you crush the facts tonight.
What do you think about dancing? So if you're just at a,
let's bring it back to dancing.
Yeah, it was such a random.
Because I like to keep you on your toes, Vicky. I like to keep you guessing.
But yes, being able to dance as opposed to not having rhythm, yes, absolutely is a plus.
You just had your sister's wedding. Is there any good dancers there?
Yeah, the Birdman. Crushing it.
Did anyone...
With late 80s, early 90s, but that's why I was asking about it.
Was anyone able to keep up with you?
No, man, I was actually so tired and jet-lagged and stressed out. I danced.
By yourself?
I could have danced more, but I decided to just hang out with my dad a little bit.
Got it.
Yeah. But I'm usually the dancer at a wedding.
I feel like you're the guy that's doing the worm on the dance floor.
You know, surprisingly, my worm's not that great. Really? I'm more of a backspin guy and then pose that shit.
I like it.
Boom.
That's good. That's probably stronger.
Yes.
That's probably stronger. So are you attracted to a girl that can dance really well?
Yeah, I am, actually.
What if she danced everywhere you went, though? It never stopped.
I think there's something primal in terms of like attraction. They go back to ancient tribes.
Hold on now, Beckett. Danny's asking really
profound stuff.
Really important question. I'm going to get to your question, Beckett. What are you saying, Danny? You said,
she never stops dancing everywhere you go. Like you're in Publix.
And everything else about this girl is wonderful.
And she dances great. And the dancing's on point.
It's really good.
Dancing's on point. She's kind. She's affectionate. Everything
like
else
you
is
want
great.
Cereal and she like grabs twerking it. Yeah.
But again, I think this is an important question to answer. Everything else is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, as far as you know, the relationship's going so far. I don't know. It's early.
Well, then you're not selling.
I don't know.
You're not selling it well, Dennis.
Well, so she's great. You're like, this girl's great.
Okay.
It's kind of weird though that everywhere I go, she's
like
dances.
Flash mobs everywhere.
Yeah. Like it's in time and it looks cool, but
it's
like
really think about. Could I really deal with that, Vicky? I'm going to Publix and we're going to Publix together and she's just fucking popping and locking constantly.
I don't know. You kind of like attention, so I think you do.
Not all the time. But I hear you. I think it's too much, Dennis. I think it's too much.
Ironically, I actually dance when I'm on duty in the morning, like I have courtyard duty, and then in the afternoon, and my daughter's going to scream because in the afternoon, I pretend like I'm in color guard. And because she was in the marching band at Park Vista, so there's this one particular show, Desperadise, so I always play the last song, and I'm always doing my imaginary, you know, I'm like color guard doing my flag and stuff. It just passes the time.
I love it.
I love to embarrass my children.
Who wants to see a Vicky dance video?
I do.
Oh,
without a doubt.
Vicky, dance. All right, we're getting too silly here. Here's another email from the people. It says, oh, you know what? Instead of going to the people, let's do our segment. I got a lot of feedback from this. The what are you blessed for this week? We'll keep it quick, but something specific to this week, unique to this week, why you feel like you're blessed and happy to be alive. I really want to concentrate on keeping things positive. Let's start with you, Mr. Denny's.
Well, I'm blessed because I got my guitars back from the shop. And I've been playing them, and I was very rusty, so I'm happy that I'm getting back into the swing of it.
All right, I love it. That's great. And I think Vicky wants some more wine. I'm blessed.
I said I'm good.
Then I'm unblessed. All right, all right, Beckett.
This might be a cliche one, but a lot of my friends are sick around me, and I've been taking the Zicam and trying to prevent myself from getting sick, and I think you never really fully appreciate your health until people around you or close to you get sick. And I don't know, I'm just really happy I have my health. I mean, I'm in my mid to late 30s and, you know, I haven't
more,
had...
More later, more mid.
37. I'm in the middle of the mid and the late.
That's what we all do. I'm just giving you a hard time back.
I won't be able to recycle that one because it's a cliche, very like wide net thing to be grateful
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like the health... It's kind of like, oh, I love my mom.
Right.
You're on the verge. Let the chat room decide on that. Was Beckett too generic on that?
This is the time of year because we have all the snowbirds coming in town. Like, it's the time of year where everyone's getting sick. Everyone's getting sick.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Vicky, what are you blessed with?
Well, since someone's staring at me from the audience, I am blessed to have my daughter.
No,
she is the joy of my life.
No. That is not count.
No, but what I do want to say is it's actually probably more her blessing than mine, but her ability, because she has shown that she does have some ability, and it's coming in faster and faster. And I think the fact that we have each other and that she has, because I didn't have any kind of support. And I didn't have someone encouraging me to develop what I had. So I think it's a blessing that we have each other to bounce off of. And I do consider her a blessing, because it is something that we're able to share that's above what normal, you know, mothers and daughters share.
Okay.
That's awesome. I love you, Mom.
Oh, that's, there's the, Ariel, that's the clip for one of the things this week on social media. I love it. That's really good. That's good.
And you?
Oh, I like it. I'm blessed that you asked me how I feel, Vicky. That's great. No, I'm blessed because I don't get to travel that often. But when I do, and we've talked about this a little bit before, something, at least for me, about traveling, going across the sky, it does something spiritual for me, like a drug, with or without whiskey in my system, with or without anything. I could be doing that completely sober, and something about that does something to my spirit and my soul, and it kind of stirs it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, when I travel, I always go through a checklist in my life. What's important? Where am I going? How do I want to spend the rest of my life? Do I want to worry about the same shit I've been worrying about that keeps me down from, it keeps me from being truly happy? And I think we all suffer from that. There's things that we, just the daily grind, there's things that really keep your soul down from being the best possible spirit you can be. And traveling for me unlocks certain things that other things just don't do. And you hear people really speak, they have a reverence for traveling. Because I think we are meant to explore a bit. Mm-hmm. We're meant to be creative. We're meant to explore, see what, push ourselves, and constantly do that stuff. So I'm very blessed that I got to go to Oregon this week and kind of reset that. I want to travel more. That it's made me realize I want to do that.
You start coming with me, man.
Dude, I'd actually love to do a Beckett trip.
That'd be awesome.
Go to fucking India or go to Botswana or I don't know.
As long as he's paying, let's go.
A whole nother perspective. A whole nother perspective.
It really, even going to Oregon, you get a different mm-hmm. perspective, just seeing a different kind of landscape. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times can a motherfucker see Northlake Boulevard?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
What's the famous Jimmy Buffett quote? Changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, right?
Quote Jimmy Buffett in my house again, I don't know if you're allowed on this podcast. I can't stand.
You don't like Jimmy Buffett?
The only thing I like about Buffett is
Cheeseburger
nothing.
In Paradise?
No, I don't like Jimmy Buffett. I can't.
Not even Cheeseburger
Vicky,
in Paradise?
Are you a Buffett head? Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a Paradise.
Nothing against him. I love people. I fucking hate his music so much.
What about when he had Krispy Kreme?
I love his donuts. That's great. I like his restaurant.
He has a whole song about cheeseburgers.
I hate it. I know. I should love it. I just can't. I like cheese and tomato. No.
Interesting.
I hate it.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about traveling, some of my brightest students were always well traveled.
Yeah.
Like they always came back, oh, this summer we went here, here, and here. And it always tended to be my brighter students. And I think that traveling and being exposed to other experiences, it was all part of it.
I found that in dating. I found that in dating compatibility, how much the girls traveled actually. I mean, it's not obviously like the be all end all, but it's a big factor, I think, in the formula in terms of perspective, conversations we can have. It's been an important, like, reoccurring thing that I look at as like a feature or attribute.
The last thing I'll say about the traveling thing, and then I'll let Denny's kind of caboose this whole thing. I get the same feeling I get when I'm out in nature. Mm. It's a weird thing that there's certain moments of either deja vu or the only thing I can say, it reminds me of like a buzz, but a natural buzz. And it's clarity for just a quick second, but it's a neat kind of clarity. And you go to Colorado a lot.
Yeah, I think,
and it's nature-y.
Yeah, and even just, you know, in continental U.S., there's so many different types of places. Every state is so distinct from each other, and even within the states, there's even more subsects of even more distinction.
You go to Nebraska,
it's just a different way of life.
And then there's subsets of Nebraska.
Yeah, like you can fit in because it's still humanity, but it's odd. It's everybody's slightly different regionally, so it's kind of cool to explore even just like locally. And then you go to other countries, it's even more vast.
Well, I mean, what the fuck is going on in Nebraska? Has anyone ever here been to Nebraska? What the shit is going?
Football and corn.
I mean, is that really all that's going on?
I guess.
All right.
One of my proudest moments was my mom. She turned 80, and the day she turned 80, we got into the car and we drove across country.
Oh, that's awesome.
We went to the Grand Canyon. We ended up in San Diego, and then we took the southern route home and stopped at the Alamo and New Orleans. And that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of. Is that, you know, her being 80 years old, she was able to take that trip with us and see so many things.
I think that's important. Also, I think going out and seeing the land just reminds you how insignificant we are, you know?
Because it
existed well before you. It'll exist well past you.
When even walking by the beach, and it's going to sound like I'm stoned, and I'm not that much. Yeah, walking by the beach, looking out the ocean, how do you not feel a little bit small that maybe... when you can't find your remote control, it's not that big of a deal.
Totally.
We get so bent about so much stupid shit, which I think slowly chips away at your soul. I really do.
Well, I think living in these artificial, you know, like these are definitely safe. We live in houses for protection purposes and to protect our belongings. But I think a lot of the stuff, staying inside these man-made habitats, big cities, cause depression in people because we are... like you guys are saying, built to explore, built to look out, built to reflect.
Built to be in nature.
Yeah, we get caught up in this grind we've created in our society for us to function. And you forget that we are, you know, part of this planet. It's weird. You get separated from it.
Which is different than the last thousands and thousands and thousands of years that we've evolved, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, so my mom hated nature. My dad loves nature. My dad grew up in Pennsylvania out in the woods. He was always exploring. My mom fucking hated going outside and in nature, and she was an agoraphobic. My mom suffered from severe depression, and I wonder if you got her ass out into nature, you forced her out there and said, hey, mom, walk around the woods a little bit, or let's go to a mountain or go to a lake. Would that, you know, relieve a little bit of the depression? I believe with every fiber in my being, it totally would have.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah. I'm going to get emails from people that say, Jay Bird, I hate nature. I hate going outside. It's actually going to make me depressed and annoyed to go out there. And I would just say, have you tried it at least?
Yeah. The
sunlight, it's good for you.
It's good for you.
There's a reason why people, I believe, are naturally attracted to views. You know,
where like water,
the best the most expensive real estate.
And you can't even explain why.
A sunrise. But you're like, whoa, dude, look at that. You know, and like whether it's a Grand Canyon, you know, it's awe. You feel awe. Yeah. And I think that it helps ground you.
It captures you. You don't even realize you're drawn to it. But it's just you're locked into it.
Totally.
I think that's built into us. Yeah. I think it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
It's just weird. We get separated from it and you forget about it.
Well, we are so everyone listening. We're so obsessed with our daily grind. And I get it because a lot of our daily grind
is your livelihood.
It's our survival. You know, if you're not grinding and getting your money, you can't feed your family. And I get it. But I do think there is a percentage of it that we could get away from. It doesn't have to be so end all be all.
Totally.
See what I'm saying?
Microsoft, just a big study was being published that they did an experiment where they went to 4 days a week as a work week.
Yeah.
And productivity went up, I forgot what the exact
40%.
40%.
It does, man. I think there's a shift. I think and I think we've touched upon this before, but through the late 80s into the 90s, it was all about grind, drink caffeine, work long hours.
Wolf of Wall Street,
make tons of money. Like that was just the thing. And I think people, as they've, you know, their lifespan's been cut from it and the torture of their psyche.
Well, I worked with Kevin for going on 16 years now. And he's always been grind, fucking grind. And he, I would say the last year, Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
He's gotten away. He'll openly admit saying grinding is not the best way, especially if you're in a creative field.
Totally.
It's actually tired, adverse.
It really is. If you're grinding and you're tired and you're pissy, and that does not always produce the best creative experience. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said to go out, travel, yeah, to go out, experience, mm-hmm, to have a barbecue with some friends you haven't seen in 8 years. Mm-hmm. I know we all have friends that you really, really like and care about that you don't see anymore.
Yeah,
without, right?
A doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's yours, Vicky?
I have a friend that just back in like 2014, I guess, just randomly stopped communicating with me. And I've sent her multiple texts. I've sent her emails. I've sent all kinds of things. I have no idea why she stopped talking, but I'd love to be able to sit down. I miss her. She was, okay, my friend from high school.
That's going to be yours. Beckett, who's your? We're going to do a segment. We're all going to try to connect with these people. Okay. I love it. Who's yours, Beckett?
So one of my best friends, he was really close with me in college. Stayed good friends. He dated a mutual friend of ours. Then they had a bad breakup. And he's been busy with his job and busy with my job. And, you know, the last couple years kind of distanced a little bit. And I was exhausted on Sunday morning. You know, went to the boat show. I had a long work week, whatever. Drank some beers on Saturday. And he was like, hey, man, you want to go to the Dolphins game on Sunday? It was 12:30. It's like, takes an hour to get there. And I was like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And it was one of the first times we had a chance to. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm like, let's go. So I went down, had a great time with him. We rode in the car on the way back down. And I just appreciated reconnecting with someone that I was that close with. And it's cool how you can pick up with someone like that almost right where you left,
yes,
off. Absolutely.
Really, it's a weird thing when you there are a lot of people in your life like that. Yeah. It's bizarre.
And then even though you don't know why you distanced, you know, other than, you know, work and stuff like that, and you're like, man, like, we just talked for 2 hours straight. Like,
yeah, why does that happen? You like these people, but yet just the regular grind,
yeah, you're just
separates
to...
you. And you, there's certain people that, I mean, I think back, I mean, I played baseball through college. I mean, I met some really great people who I would consider a brother at one point in my life, just to never have talked to them ever again. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. I have friends that I haven't talked to in years for no reason other than we just got busy.
And,
yeah,
and you like them. And you, yeah. They're your boy.
We separated on mutual and, or even better than that, just, you know, good terms. We were friends.
Well, okay. It's work to maintain relationships.
It is. And people
it
move.
Is. It is. Yeah.
And
no, it
especially
is.
If you have a lot of them, like if you do a lot of things, like you meet a lot of different kinds of people. You play different sports. You went to different schools. You dated different,
yeah,
mutual friends. And like, to maintain multiple relationships is exhausting.
And there's also a thing to be said about keeping your really, really close inner circle very, very tight. Just because a lot of motherfuckers like to talk out of both sides of the mouth.
100%, yeah.
I'm talking about you, Lance.
Oh, yeah.
it's a fight from about... Lance
Armstrong?
No. 1999.
Yeah, it's funny to think back. Plus, working in entertainment too, people take jobs anywhere you can get. So, I mean, I had friends that went out to Vegas because that was just, the getting was good, if you will. I had friends that worked on cruise ships. In fact, I almost got a gig doing audio on a cruise ship. It's actually a pretty awesome gig.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Pays well. You get boarding. You get to chill under the decks and stuff.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, they need people to run those for like the magicians and stuff. But yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of cool audio gigs like that. So
you'd be,
I mean,
running around like Leo DiCaprio on that cruise ship, running around.
That would be, yeah.
Is that a Titanic reference?
Yeah.
I hate that movie. Get out of my house.
You hate that too?
Oh, I Titanic. Do you like Titanic?
God, all this Americana?
I hate that movie.
Well, I just hated the ending because there was plenty of room on the door. Like, he could have stayed on the door.
Very controversial topic, Becky.
Big, yeah, argument.
Yeah.
James Cameron gets so pissed off
fights
when
you.
People ask him that question. Because every stupid radio person, hey, why did Rose not get off the door?
Yeah.
And he gets so mad.
I think
I saw a clip where he goes, and he does that one thing where he pauses and does that deep... Well, you know, he's so annoyed by it.
As successful as his life is, he probably has one regret, not making that door smaller.
Talk about a guy that really zoned into what people like. He went 3 for 3?
Well, so he did Aliens, which, ooh, was awesome.
Amazing. Terminator?
Yeah.
Did he do Terminator?
No, I might be wrong. No. He did Titanic.
He did Titanic, Avatar.
Avatar.
Avatar was big.
Avatar was great.
He's done bigger ones,
you
too.
You like the Avatar?
You don't like the Avatar?
Did you like Avatar?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right, never mind. Now I sound like the 90-year-old man. I don't like any of those movies.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, get off my lawn, Beckett. And I didn't hate Avatar. I just don't like when movies go over 2 hours, man. I guess my ADHD kicks in, and I like it. Let's wrap this shit up at 1:45.
That's like Titanic was 2 VHS cassettes.
It was.
You had to change it out.
We can't wrap some shit up in about 2 hours. We can't cut out a couple scenes, Beckett.
Right.
We can't cut out those violin motherfuckers.
That's right.
Give them 5 minutes instead of 10.
So you didn't like Lonesome Dove?
What?
Lonesome Dove?
That was a good movie.
It was a great
movie. I didn't see that movie.
What?
Lonesome Dove?
Get out of your own house. You ever see Lonesome Dove?
I haven't seen Lonesome Dove, Beckett.
Is it Robert Duvall in that?
Is it good?
Oh, it's
Vicky, have you seen it?
No.
Dennis, have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Audience, have you seen it? No. All right, so really 80% wrong. Of the people here haven't. Really
yeah, wrong. Way to bring a movie up that nobody's seen. That is a good movie, though.
How about Few Good Men? Have you seen Few Good Men?
Come on.
Oh, dude, okay. He quotes it.
You can't handle the truth.
Dude, I bought that. That's really good. I bought that on iTunes the other day.
It's such a good movie.
It's $14.99 on iTunes. $12.99, $14.99. Is it crazy?
Yeah, you brought that up before. Get over it. It was money well spent. So, you're good.
I'm not sure. Okay, here's my thing. I don't know if you're mad that it's too much or if it's too little. I can't tell if you're happy that it's too little.
He's saying it's too much because it's been out.
It's like when Baxter ate the wheel of cheese. I'm not even mad. I'm just like impressed that it's
dude, it's a fucking TBS classic. It's on TBS right now, and because it has commercials, and it's 9 hours long.
That's how much they charge for movies that have just come out of the theater.
That's what happened. It was one night. It was one morning. I woke up so hungover, and on TBS was that movie with Haley Joel Osment.
Sixth Sense?
No, the other one with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, geez, that depressing one.
Oh my
pay
God.
It forward.
So you pay it forward. All so right. It's on TBS, and it's from the beginning. I'm like, all right, I'm kind of hooked on it.
Yeah.
And because it's on TBS, it's already a long ass movie. Because it's on TBS, it's a really long ass movie.
Yeah.
So I was invested, and I am watching. I'm fucking watching the commercials. I'm in it.
Yeah.
And the ending was so much like when you're about to sneeze and you don't sneeze. It was so disappointing and unsatisfying and so depressing. Fuck TBS. I'll never watch a movie with commercials again.
Wait, I think I had a version of that story in college. So I was hungover and it was a Sunday morning and I got sucked into this movie. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a cute little movie. I would never admit to my friends that I watched this movie. It was
why not, Beckett? Admit it.
Mandy Moore, A Walk to Remember.
Oh, we love yeah. That's a great movie.
Great. So I have my door.
That's a great movie.
I have a door closed. The end of my movie.
It's sad.
Oh my
and my
God.
Roommates bust in. They're like, what's going on? I was like, nothing.
If you ain't tearing up to A Walk to Remember, you ain't human.
Man, that movie got me.
And she does that Switchfoot song. We are Walk to Remember fans up in the air. Yeah, we've all shed a tear.
Good. At least I got one.
We've all shed a tear.
Yeah, finally.
In fact, I might go to bed to that movie today. I think I need to cry tonight.
I like it.
One more email because we are wrapped. Because that Beckett's got to get out of here. This is an email. And I do want to thank the entire audience. Everyone's been so great going on the videos and leaving comments on our videos. We get more comments on the Weird and Whatever videos and more likes in the KVJ show. And I really appreciate that. Keep those coming and let us know your thoughts on everything. Someone says, Monica from West Palm says, Dear Weird and Whatever, I want to say how much I love your podcast. All of you are great in your own way. I actually love Beckett's laugh. No. And by the way, I get quite a bit of comments of people who do like your laugh. I do get a lot that hate it, but but a lot of people really love it.
I think if they just turn the bass down a little bit, it might be, it's not as bad.
I'm going to have to get a compressor.
Screw them if they can't handle your laugh. Come on, what are they? Right, what are they, a snowflake, man?
Thank you.
I actually love Beckett's laugh. I'm writing in because I think you guys need more credit as a podcast. Why aren't you guys way bigger as a podcast? What can we do as weirdos and an audience to help you all out? I am a loyal KVJ listener and now a loyal weirdo. Also, please show the ghost footage. That was from, I think, 2 weeks ago. Love and kisses, Monica from West Palm Beach. So, yes, you can really help us out. You can help the KVJ show and the Weird and Whatever crew out. If you see anything we post, please just leave a comment. And if you don't like it, leave a comment how you don't like it. Like, dislike, we just need interaction. we can't have videos where we put our heart and soul in that have 1,500 views. It makes us look stupid and dumb. So if you see that, share it for us. Leave comments. We can't have a video that has 3 comments on there, whether it's a KVJ video or it's a weird whatever video. Now, yeah, I am begging for the comments, but I think a lot of people don't realize how important that is. And I do get that email a lot. How can we help KVJ? How can we help weird and whatever? By leaving comments, especially on YouTube. YouTube's a big thing. Our bosses see it. It makes us look good. Mm-hmm. Interaction, interaction, interaction. Sharing, sharing, sharing. You guys have done a great job doing that, but let's kick it up a notch. And I want to do a live Weird and Whatever podcast where we invite people in, where you get a reading from Vicky. You ask Beckett a question. Maybe he shakes his hair. Denny's got some random facts. But something where you come in, you watch the Weird and Whatever podcast live on a stage. We could do it here. I think, how many people could we get in this place? If we really packed this biatch tight.
And that we could do that.
I think could we get 50 people in here?
I don't know about 50.
50?
We have fire hazard.
Yeah.
40?
No.
40? He said no.
Maybe like 20.
30? Ariel's saying 30? I think we could get 30 people in my place.
We get 20.
Yeah, maybe 30, but you can't turn the air off.
Yeah.
Because that's too many bodies in here with the air off.
Well, just know that if you're coming here for that, you're grinding it out and you're part of something great.
That's
and when you're part of something great, there's going to be some licks.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have a question for tonight?
Yeah, I want you to come up with it.
How about...
Since you're so fucking sassy, all right. I'm asking you how to do my job.
How about this? All right. Well, whatever happened to waterbeds? They were so popular. Remember those things were everywhere. Dude, then they disappeared. Nobody talks about waterbeds anymore. What are your guys' thoughts?
He was genuinely curious about it.
But you told me to come up with a question.
I thought that was really good, man. No, I...
Hey, people can leave comments on that.
Becca, you have to go, right?
Yeah, I can hang out for the question.
Okay, I had a question earlier, but I said thrown out by the waterbed comment.
I mean, that's a legit one.
All right, you know what? Let's wrap this up.
Should we wrap it? All right.
Wrap this up, but go ahead and just leave a comment just about what you're blessed for. And that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody listening could totally leave something. And make it very specific to this week, though. Don't have it be generic. I love my dog. Like Becca did. Oh, I love health. My fucking family and my health.
Health as well.
We had a lot of comments going, come on, bitch boy Becca. Could be so generic. Vicky, anything to plug? Anything to say?
Yes, I do have something to plug. This Sunday at 7 p.m., if you go on Facebook on the Readings by Vicky, that's V-I-C-K-I-E, I'm doing another live pics event. So if you want me to read your picture on air, go ahead and message it to me at Readings by Vicky, and I will read it live on Sunday night at 7.
Oh. The other thing, too, people keep asking about our Instagram. If you want to get Weird and Whatever updates, go to JasonKVJ on Instagram. Sign up right now, bitches and witches. Okay, guys, we love you all. Thank you so much for the support. And I was going to say one more thing, Vicky. Was it? Oh, that's right. Everybody wants to see you do the Vicky dance right now. Right. We love you all, and
Bigfoot is real.
What was that? What's that sound? Where? It's aliens, and they're living in your town. Damn. They have arrived. What? They're all around. So many aliens living in your town. Are you scared of aliens? Well, you should be. 'Cause